I'm going to be delving into this passage of scripture a little bit. And so last week we started a new series entitled David's Mighty Men. Can you say mighty? Can you say men? Say mighty? Men? Mighty men. David's Mighty Men. And mighty is defined as possessing great and impressive power of strength. And so I don't know if you guys realize this. I don't know if you've maybe been tuned out a little bit, but I feel like there has been a very intentional attack and struggle with the family. I don't know if you see that when you watch the news or you listen to the radio or you listen watch the TV. It's like I feel like there is an intentional attack on the family, and specifically, I feel like there is an interesting attack that's been taking place against manhood and mighty men. And I feel like it started happening a while ago, but there's almost this depiction of men being silly or stupid. And I guess kind of the purpose of this series is to encourage you that men are important and that they are designed by God in his image, infused with glory, to be the spiritual leaders and protectors of the home. It's interesting because they've actually done some studies and they've found that if a father doesn't go to church, even if the wife does, only about 1 in 50 children will become regular worshipers. But they have found that if a father goes regularly, regardless of what the mother does, about 2/3 of kids will attend church as adults. There is significant impact that men have, a spiritual impact on society and the home. And that's kind of the thrust of this message, is really to kind of call men out to be mighty and to realize that you have been designed by God in his image, infused with glory, to be spiritual leaders. And I think what's happened is the enemy has come in and he's attacked the family unit and he's attacked men. And so we're kind of taking a look at this passage of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 23, which talks about a group of men that were called mighty men. They were David's mighty men. They were a group of men that were skilled. They kind of had skills suitable to be almost like an elite force of like Navy SEALs or something. They were warriors and they were fighters, and there was 30 of them, technically 37, but they're known by many as the 30. And the text divides them up into three different groups that had one leader in each group. And it talks about, it's almost like these squads that they had of these mighty men. And so we're just going to read the text real quick in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, "These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb, Bashabeth, the Tekemite, chief among the champions. He was called Adino, the Eznite, because he killed 800 men at one time." We talked about him last week. We talked about how he was a leader. We talked about how his name literally meant strong spear. And we talked about some of the significance of him. And so we talked about him last week. And so this week we're going to be reading in verses, specifically we're going to be focusing on verses 9 and 10. And it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Haonite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder." I'm going to read that again. "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo." I almost feel like that's a joke. "The son of Dodo, the Ahonite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder." God, may you just get all of our praise today. Father, I just pray that you'll open our eyes to the things that you have for us. Father, I pray that you will encourage us to be men and women that fight for their faith and that fight for the truth and that fight for their family. God, may we be people that seek you first and that engage in battle. Father, may you get all the glory. May you get all the praise today. Amen. So I don't know if you guys realize this, but I do believe that we are in a battle. And I believe that life is a battlefield. Do you agree with me? Or is life a bed of roses? Do some of you guys feel sometimes that life is a battle? Feel like things are coming from you? Thank you. Things are coming at you in every direction. It's like, you go at work and you go to, all over the place. And so life is a battle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that for our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know, I think sometimes when you read these stories in the Old Testament, we think about these men who were warriors who were fighting. But the truth is that we are in a battle today, a spiritual battle. And I believe that God has put the spirit of a warrior in us. And there are things in our life that matter. There are things in our life that we need to fight for. Do you agree with me this morning? There are things that we need to fight for. I think we need to fight for our marriages. We need to fight for our families. It's good for us to fight to overcome addictions. It's good for us to fight for our faith. And I believe that really every God-given dream requires us to fight. I don't know if you realize that, but I believe that every God-given dream requires us to fight. And I think many of the reasons why people are not experiencing the fulfillment of God in their life is because when things get tough, we often bail, or when things get hard, we often quit. But I believe that God has built us to be people that are made through hardship and diversity, and God has called us to be people that fight. And so here I'm looking at this passage of Scripture, and I'm looking at Eleazar, and there are a couple of interesting things about him that I wanted to share about, and then we'll close. First of all, it's interesting, I think, when you look at him, Eleazar. Can you say Eleazar? Yeah, when you look at Eleazar, there's some interesting things about him. First of all, he had clarity. Can you look to your neighbor and say clarity? Yeah, he had clarity. He knew what battle he was fighting. He knew who his enemy was. He knew that he was fighting the Philistines. We talked about last week how there were three different gods of the Philistines. The god of Ashtoreth, the god of Dagon, and the god of Baal. And how each of those gods specifically related to different types of things that we can kind of relate to today. But he knew who his enemy was. He knew that his enemy was the Philistines. He knew what field to fight on. He knew where the battle was going to be at. He knew how to engage them in battle. He was a man of clarity. He had planned out his attack, and he had come prepared for war. He decided beforehand that this battle was worth fighting, and that this battle was worth fighting. And this was a battle for him that was worth fighting for. It was a cause that he was willing to fight for. And I think sometimes you have to choose your battles. Everything is clamoring for a fight. In fact, if you watch TV or if you check out the news, there's a lot of different things that you can fight for. In fact, right now there is a lot of political unrest going on. We have the Democrats and the Republicans, and there's this strong contrast, and there's this chasm that I feel like is getting larger and larger, and we have these debates that are coming up, and we have people that are going on, and they're fighting over all sorts of different things, and there's a lot of political unrest, and there's a lot of push right now to pick a side and to choose a side and to become engrafted into a side. If I was just watching another thing that you can fight over, I was just watching something, I think it was on Discovery, that was talking about the extinction of the honeybee. And they were saying that there are over 20,000 different species of bees in the world, 44,000 species of bees in North America, and they're on the decline. And so they're saying that if bees end up going extinct, we could lose about 35% of our food supply. And so that's something that we could totally fight over and get excited over. You could also maybe fight over who is the GOAT. You could say, well, maybe I think it might be LeBron James, or perhaps it's Michael Jordan, or maybe it's Wilt Chamberlain. He averaged 50 points in a season and like 20 rebounds. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Or maybe it's Bill Russell. He had 11 rings. Or someone else that people often don't talk about is a guy named Sam Jones, who played for the Celtics, who has 10 rings. I don't know if you've heard about him before, but there's a lot of different things. Or you could argue over, like, are the Lions going to be any good this year? I mean, come on. I mean, they won their first game. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. You could argue over that. You could get on the battlefield over that. Or you could even argue over who's the best Disney princess. Okay, I mean for me, I kind of like Rapunzel because she kind of seems like she's a homeschooler. She's up and all by herself, and she doesn't like her mother. And she rebels, she runs away. And so I can kind of relate with Rapunzel. But at the same time, I kind of like Jasmine because she's kind of wild too, and she's flying around on a carpet and like fighting people with swords and stuff. So I don't know, like I feel like there's a lot of different things that we can battle over. There's a lot of different battlefields that we can jump upon, that we can jump into. We can jump into the battlefield of the goat. We can jump into the battlefield of the honeybee. We can jump into the battlefield of the political unrest. We can jump into the battlefield of the best Disney princess, and I still think it's Rapunzel. We can jump into all these different battlefields. We can be Eleazar, and we can run in with our sword in hand. We can fight until our hand is weary and grips the sword and cannot release it. But can I give you some clarity today? Let me give you clarity as men and women of God. There are two battles that are always worth fighting for. The battle of your faith, right? Here's Eleazar. The Philistines are coming in. They have false gods that they're trying to integrate into the culture of the Israelites. The goddess of Ashtoreth, who's really the goddess of sex and fertility. Coming in, they're saying all sorts of things that are wrong. The god of Dagon was half man, half god, who would bless them with material things if they worshipped him. And the god of Baal, who these people would literally sacrifice their own kids, they'd watch them burn and cheer. Okay. You know what's crazy about this? About this book here. It's a book about the past, but it's also a book about the future. You know that? It's an eternal book. It's a book where the truths are true and the truths are yes and amen, right? Like you can read the book and you can say, well, that was maybe true for back then, but I don't know now. But it's an eternal book that has applications for them in the past, but also us in the present, and also us in the future. And the truth is that the enemy, he has the same playbook that he's playing over and over and over again. Here the Philistines, they're worshiping these gods, the god of sex, the god of materialism, the god of self. I think those gods are still alive and well today. There is a battle going on right now for your faith today. And it's okay for you to engage in that battle, to get into that battlefield. It's okay for you to grab your sword and to engage the enemy. Amen? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. It's okay for you to, if someone comes to you and starts attacking you about your faith, it's okay for you to stand up for your faith. Men and women of God, God has called us to that battlefield to be men and women who fight for our faith in love, but fight for our faith. He's always one battlefield you can always go to is the battle for your faith. The second battlefield, men and women, mighty men, that God is always going to call you to is the battlefield for your family. The battlefield for your family. The battlefield for your family. You know, it's interesting. You know, I remember when I was in youth ministry, one of the punishments that I would often hear parents give, because they had fun time in youth, amen, praise the Lord, Pastor Nate. One of the things that I'd hear people say is, well, my kid has been misbehaving, so I'm going to ground them from church. And I could never quite understand that. But as a parent, I feel like one of the things that I've made a commitment to with Aaron and between Aaron and God is that we are going to, no matter what, put our kids in an environment where they're surrounded by people that love the Lord, and we're going to put people in an environment where they can experience the Lord, where we're going to put our kids in an environment where they can be with other believers, in an environment where they can learn from their youth pastor. Because listen, I think the enemy, listen, church, the enemy is going after our kids. And he's going after our families. And God has called us to be men and women that fight for our faith, but that also fight for our family. If you feel like you're getting distracted, like you need to go to a different battle and fight some other battle, listen, clarity today. God has called you to fight the battle for your faith and to fight the battle for your family, for your faith and for your family. God has called you mighty men. You are men that are infused with glory. You are made in the presence of Jehovah, in the image of Jehovah Jireh. And God has called you to be mighty men, that there's a battle right now going on for your faith, and there's a battle going on right now for your family. And if you look at what's happening in society right now, again, there's an attack on both, but specifically, also when you think about your family, there's been a specific attack on, first of all, removing God from the equation. And then once you remove God from the equation, guess what's happening? Then the family, the nucleus of the family, starts falling apart. And we are seeing a direct correlation between that and what's happening in the church. Listen, men, mighty women too. God has called you to two specific battles. You can fight some other ones too. If you want to fight the battle of the killer bees, you can. If you want to fight the battle of the goat, you can. If you want to fight these other battles, you can. But listen, God has called you. Let me give you some clarity to the battle for your faith and the battle for your family. Now listen, it's interesting because if you keep on, if you just look at the first of all, Eleazar was a man who was a man of, he had clarity. He knew what battle to fight for. He knew who his enemy was. He knew what field to fight on. He knew how to engage in battle. He planned out his attack. He prepared for war. He decided beforehand what battle was worth fighting. But also, it's interesting, he didn't necessarily fight this battle alone. In fact, there was a brotherhood here. In fact, it speaks of some other men. There's actually three mighty men. But specifically, he stood with David. And maybe a question that I have to ask you is, as you are engaging in warfare, maybe it's a battle for your faith or a battle for your family, who are you standing with or who are you fighting with? It's interesting. I think sometimes we say, I just need some clarity. I'm not entirely sure what to do or where to go or how to engage the enemy. Take a look at this real quick in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Now, you'd think if you're putting together putting together an army of men, you'd think maybe he'd go out and find the best, the most skilled, the most exciting. But look at the people that came with him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt. Do we have any people in debt this morning? Do we have anyone who is in distress this morning? Maybe that's the best. So everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Wow, what a group of people. So everyone who was distressed, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented came to him. And so he became captain over them. And there was about 400 men with him. You know, I think if you're looking for clarity, if you're looking for a battle, if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for discernment, I think often it's the people that we surround ourselves with. It's the people that we connect with. These men were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontent. And they purposefully went to David because they saw that he was a man of clarity. And I think there's something very important about us coming together and men connecting with other men and women connecting with other women. There's something important about community. There's something exciting about community. I mean, a few years ago, we went through a period of time where we weren't able to get together and everything was online and we were missing something. I think everyone can testify to that. We were missing something. There's something powerful about when we come together as a group of believers. There's something powerful in a brotherhood of believers. There's something encouraging when we're able to come around other people that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. And that's one of the reasons why we are starting to put together this men's ministry, is because we see that there's something missing. And so he was a man of clarity. He also understood the power of the brotherhood. But also he was a man of resilience and persistence. He was a man of resilience and persistence. If you look at the text, it's interesting because, again, if you go back to verse 9, it says, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ammonite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle." But look at that next phrase. It says, "And the men of Israel had retreated." So he goes to battle, and when the Philistines started winning, when the Philistines started beating the Israelites, everyone else retreated. You see that in the text? And then it says, "And he arose and attacked the Philistines." So even when he seemed like he was outmanned, he kept on fighting. As the fight intensified, he intensified. As the battlefield became outmanned, he continued to stand for what's right, and he continued to fight for what's right. But the men of Israel left. So when things got rough, the men of Israel left. And then it says at the very end, after the Lord gave him a great victory, the people returned after, but only to plunder. Do you see that? Isn't that weird? So he's in battle, and things intensify, and everyone leaves. And then after he wins, they come back, and they're like, "Oh, cool, good job. Clap, clap, clap. Now we're going to plunder the dead bodies, because we just see there's an opportunity here." Listen, mighty men of God, God is calling you to be resilient men. He's calling you to be persistent men. He's calling you to be men that are faithful in battle, even when it seems that you're outnumbered. He's calling you to be faithful to your family, even when it seems very difficult. He's calling you to be faithful to your wife, even when it seems very difficult. He's calling you to be to teach your kids godly values, even when it seems very difficult. He's teaching you to maybe overcome addiction, even when it seems very difficult. Listen, God is calling us men, women, to be resilient and persistent, to stand our ground. Stand our ground. In Jude chapter 1, Jude is the half-brother of Jesus, and he's speaking to the church, and the church had experienced all sorts of persecution, and there was all sorts of things that were coming in, and there was all sorts of false teachings that were coming into the church. And Jude is speaking to the churches, and he says to them, in verse number 3, he tells them to contend for their faith. Now, that might not seem like a huge deal, but it was actually a military term that meant stand your ground, like be persistent. Like the enemy is coming and he's attacking. The enemy is coming and he's attacking your faith and he's attacking your family. He's like, "Listen, I want you to be persistent. I want you to stand your ground. This is going to be difficult, but I want you to stand your ground. Paul also echoes this in Ephesians chapter 6 when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Be persistent. Contend for your faith. The word Eliezer actually means God has helped. God has helped. Does anyone feel like they need help from the Lord? Man, when you see the battle waging, when you see the attack on the family, and you see the attack on your faith, maybe you even see the attack on the killer bee. You're like, oh my goodness, the killer bee. The honeybee. You see the attack on values. Like, man, I feel like I'm in a battle, and I feel like I'm outmanned, and I feel like I've been fighting, but to be honest, I am exhausted, and my hand stuck to the sword. Like, I feel like I've given everything that I have, and my hand is stuck to the sword. I've exhausted all strength. I've exhausted all power. I know I'm in the right battle. Because I know I'm fighting for my faith, and I know I'm fighting for my faith. I know I'm in the right battle. But man, I'm just exhausted. Again, Eliezer means God has helped. God has helped. When you read the text, you would think in verse 10, I mean, here's Eliezer. The men retreated. He's still fighting. He's attacking the Philistines. His hand has grown weary. His hand is stuck to the sword. And you would think that the writer of 2 Samuel would say, and Eliezer brought about a great victory. Because, I mean, come on. This guy has been fighting when everyone else retreated. But it actually says, it doesn't say that Eliezer did, but it says the Lord brought about the victory. The Lord brought about the victory. God has helped. God has helped. The Lord brought about the victory. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God has helped. God has helped. And the Lord that day brought about a great victory. God has helped. God has helped. Don't be discouraged. The Lord will help. The Lord will help. When the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon, 70 years they were in captivity. 70 years they were in struggle with their captors. 70 years. Calling out to the Lord. Man, these Babylonians, they just keep on coming. God has helped. God has helped. And Isaiah, when they were in captivity, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run. They will not faint. The Lord has helped. Father, today I just pray for the men here, specifically the mighty men. Father, I just pray that they will get in tune with you, that their focus will become in tune with you, and that they will get on the right battlefield. There's a battle that's waging right now for our faith and for our families. May we get on the right, may you give us clarity. May we be persistent. May we be resilient. May we find a brotherhood of men or a sisterhood of women that hold us up and that strengthen us for clarity, for power, for community. But also today, God, specifically I pray for those who are weary. Those who've been in battle, they're on the right battlefield, but they are weary. May you renew their strength. May they not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, at the God-ordained time, at the exact right time, they will reap a harvest if they do not give up. Minister to us as we sing this song one last time.